August 10th, 2020, Anarchy on the USA Network. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan and Justin Labar, talking big night for Retribution, big night for the Raw Underground, big night for building up SummerSlam. Matt Morgan, what'd you think of tonight's show?
I don't know if I like Underground or not. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure. I go from going back and forth on it. And Retribution, we couldn't think of a better name than that. Seriously,
Retribution.
Look out! Here comes Retribution. They're going to get you.
In search of restitution.
There are things to definitely critique tonight, but I will say this: WWE has us talking. A couple weeks ago, it was some vanilla, generic, rinse, repeat.
I agree.
So we at least have things to sink our teeth in of whether or not we like him or not.
Yes.
Underground last week, I wasn't so crazy on. There was a little bit of something I like better tonight, but it still brings me back to the same problem I have, which we'll get to eventually. And yeah, Retribution. They're jumping around like they're cheerleaders at a pep rally. Come on now, stop it.
Wrestling Inc. had the story that who we're seeing now are not necessarily the talents that will be revealed to be a member.
And thank God, because Glenn, you and I spent 25 minutes Friday breaking that down of like, this can't be the jabronis that are actually going to be masked, revealed, and be the
why?
They're 5'7" and this looks ridiculous.
We analyzed it. We went name by name, Matt, on this podcast Friday night of recently released talents and even some current talents. And it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that there's any of them.
Who did you guys come up with?
The best guess I came up with is Leo Rush. And Leo Rush would actually be fantastic because of the real life he had backstage and the issues he had. Leo Rush, yeah, I think we're going to be disappointed. Leo Rush would actually be a fantastic mouthpiece for Retribution.
And everybody else just looked like, just throwaway trainees or NXT or 205 Live. It's like, this can't be the people, the actual people that are playing under the mask right now. This can't be the ones that are actually going to be revealed. Or this is like WWE's poor Dark Order shits parody, where this is like the minions and we're waiting for like the Mr. Brody Lee to come in.
Joey Adorjan, they look like teenagers toilet papering a house.
They do. I agree with this, Joey.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes. They're cheering after they broke a window with a cinder block. It's like all they look like is like Halloween trick-or-treaters that are fucking with the Performance Center's insurance deductible. This is so stupid looking. Like they were kicking a car already turned over. We don't know whose car it was. I don't know.
From we'll the mind of Vince McMahon. Antoine Fair, $5 super chat. I feel like I'm a bad person for rooting for Ric Flair to get his head kicked off. Justin Lopez, $5. I felt more threatened by the Spirit Squad than Retribution. Spirit Yikes. Squad, Justin Lopez, $5. Also saying, how are we supposed to take these people they choose seriously when it's time to unmask? I agree. It makes no sense that they would bring out the B team or the C team of folks out there to be the stand-ins when they make them look like goofs compared to the A-level talent, hopefully, we're going to see to be behind this.
I hope so.
We'll see. Who do you guys think they are?
People have been speculating Tommaso Ciampa, Dominik Dijakovic, maybe some...
Because they both blacked out their social media, right? And they like had there was like some cryptic letters that could be seen. Is that what I saw?
Yeah. Formerly released talents, the best would be Dominic Rusev and Aiden English, I think. Leo Rush.
This would be good for Dijakovic, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
He needs a character. He's got the look and wrestle his ass off. He just needs that character.
But can we also talk about, and like, if you're a casual fan, I wouldn't blame you for this. But then I saw some people that are like regular watchers that have said this. Like, you're seeing they're dressed in all black, they throw the block through the window, whatever. And then within 10 minutes later, you then see in the ring ninjas who are dressed in all black. If you're a casual viewer, what's to stop you from saying, are the ninjas, did they just throw the block through the window?
Yes. Like,
that's weird.
Yeah, it's confusing to an average fan, I think, like, through the channels or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think that there's a lot of different angles they could go with this that could be good. I don't think that's the angle they're choosing. For instance, if it's Dijakovic and Tommaso Ciampa, retribution for what? What are they seeking? You know, what's their holy cause that they're fighting
point.
For?
I will point out how Aces and Eights was much better than this. I'm just going to point that out.
As many people have.
Aces and Eights was much better.
Well, that's why retribution, if you know, and I hate the fact that there's this gang that's causing havoc with a company, and the company's decided to name them Retribution. The Retribution didn't put out a press release saying we are Retribution. No, WWE decided to name them Retribution. Who does that? Who names your attacker? You don't name your attacker. The name Retribution would spell that, okay, this is the talent that has been released and wronged and been wrongly done. So yeah, that makes the Rusevs and the Leo Rush, that makes them intriguing. That's probably not the case here, but that would be an intriguing case if you had these guys that were coming back and they're trying to infiltrate like the NWO essentially did. You know, but this has no NWO vibe.
Can I say something? What this would be cool if this was the NXT stars that have been released over the years.
There haven't been that many released, though.
Wade Barrett.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
The original NXT group.
The Nexus.
Gotcha. Nexus, yeah.
And you even throw... Sorry, Nexus. What did I say? NXT. Sorry. Yeah, the Nexus, and you even throw Daniel Bryan back in there with them. Hmm.
That would be good. Of the recent releases, I think, Leo Rush, Rusev, Aiden English, Mike and Maria, I think would be my pick of five.
Mike and Maria.
Yeah, because I think Maria could actually be... Maria talks a lot of shit about WWE, and I think if they used that as her character, where they were like, you know what, just go off.
Did she really strike you as the girl that was kicking that other girl in the head the other night, like on SmackDown? No.
I'm just saying...
Maria? I love Maria. I'm friends with her, but no way.
You don't think she's retribution material?
No. She's not. Yeah.
She was in Playboy. She's not retribution material.
She's not somebody who's like jumping people, is what I'm saying.
I remember she smashed that vase over Sami Zayn's head back a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn would be good to be a part of this, but maybe he will be. Maybe he will be. Krana Shah.
He'd be good to be the leader of it, by the way.
He would be. No, Krana Shah, $2 super chat. Matt, John Silver on being the elite today was hilarious.
The best. The funniest. I'm telling you all are missing out on not watching Being the Elite with John Silver from the Dark Order. He is hilarious. The dude is jacked. He's very short, but doesn't matter because he wrestles 100 miles an hour, super athletic, innovative in the ring. But, dude, I'm telling you guys, he has got great comedy timing, too. He's hilarious. Seriously, he's the best part of that show right now.
Oh, and Glenn, the other name that we had popped in there, who's also short and would fit with Retribution, is Enzo. But Enzo said he's not coming back with no crowd. But Enzo would fit.
Ooh, yes, he would.
Just Cardenius 299. I saw being the elite today. Matt was right about the Dark Order. So
They're killing it. I'm telling you that they're. I wish they could put this stuff on their show sometimes. Sometimes.
IMR is pointing out that the one of the women that Shayna fought looked like she was in the Retribution group on SmackDown tonight. So.
Wow. It's the one. It's the one that we said that looked like Vanessa Bourne because of the hair.
Hmm. Steve Marcucci, $1.99. Epic if it was Punk and AJ Lee.
Yeah, it would be.
It would be cooler than this. Like, if I were CM Punk, I would be like, why are you putting out these dorks in hoodies? Not.
Totally, yes. He would clown this on minute one.
Yeah. If Punk was involved, the creative on this would be much different.
He would clown this instantly. He'd probably walk out because of how bad it is.
So with the shadow of Retribution and what they did Friday hanging over tonight, we opened at the Performance Center. Samoa Joe in the ring with a microphone, hyping up the contract signing for the SummerSlam match between Dominic Mysterio and Seth Rollins, and a different contract signing tonight because Dominic signing two contracts, one for the match against Rollins and one for his WWE contract.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so good for him. Congratulations to Dominic Mysterio. And what did you think of these promos these guys cut tonight, Matt?
He's put in a tough spot, obviously. The kid's nervous. But I don't know. I'm rooting for him, for what it's worth. I find myself rooting for him, like, authentically, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think for what it's worth, the promo that Dominic delivered, he was on point and stuck in there with Seth, and Joe actually added a lot to this.
Joe did.
So, you know, that was good. You know, the fact that this match, Seth said, you know, because Dominic came out with a kendo stick, and Seth said, you can bring that. And basically, Seth basically made it a weapons match, a hardcore match. And that's good, because if done correctly, being able to have weapons and no DQ and that kind of stuff, that could potentially mask any shortcomings that Dominic might still have in his in-ring work. So,
and believability in him by somehow pinning Seth Rollins as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I like this tonight, and I like that we got Seth's laugh. The thing I love about Seth Rollins' laugh is you can't tell if it's genuine or sarcastic.
Yeah.
It sounds like at Knott's Berry Farm when you go on the log ride and they're like, there's the old like prospector, like laughing at your misfortune.
Yeah.
What a reference.
It's very corny. But I dig it. I'm into it. And told Dominic, bring your kendo stick, bring whatever it's gonna take. So having weapons in this match, as was pointed out on Twitter, this will hopefully help Dominic put on maybe a better, more intense match, given his lack of in-ring ability.
Yeah, let me be clear. I'm sure Dominic can have an ABC match, which most students can have. You know, shoot a guy off, drop down, leapfrog, hip toss, grab the head, headlock takeover. Things like that, very, very basic ABCs of a match when you first learn. I'm more interested in this stuff with the kendo sticks, because now it gives us legit way to suspend our disbelief that he could technically pin Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and if you actually, I found Dominic's Twitter tonight. I hadn't looked at his Twitter previously, and he has some videos and some clips of himself training.
Sure.
And like Matt just said, he can probably do the ABCs. You know, he's got a really nice drop kick. He showed some stuff of him doing a running shooting star press. So just on the mat doing a running shoot. I mean, you know, so I'm sure. I mean, look who his dad is. I'm sure he's got some athleticism in him.
Yes. But
it's just the pressure of summer. This isn't a Raw. It's not even a throwaway BP. This is SummerSlam.
So here's the, before we get to Jackson Cowan's comment, real quick. The good news is not having the fans in the arena will help him, not hurt him. You won't have the nerves. The only nerves he'll have is just wrestling in front of these other superstars, you know, but he's gotten past that now because he's been there long enough between being backstage with these guys and gals, already sharing the ring with them a little bit by now. So some of those, not cobwebs, what do you call them, butterflies, have already, you know, subsided for him, I'm hoping. And again, legitimate empathy, sympathy, and hope for him, which is very rare in a babyface today, so.
Yeah, Matt, that's a great point. You're right, because if he did go in there in the situation, if he does have one, you know, obvious misstep that can't be edited on live TV, there won't be any hecklers. There won't be any "you effed up." Mm. There won't be any of that. So that's a great point about the empty arena situation.
Helps him.
Jackson Callens, $4.99 super chat, saying, "I'm excited and worried about Dom. He's still green as a leaf and hasn't had a real match lower level on TV to prepare." You know, Matt, could you imagine if your first televised match had been at SummerSlam against a talent the caliber of Seth Rollins?
I'll do you one better. My very first time being a heel was at Survivor Series in a match, but it's not the same thing as this, obviously. I know what he's saying. He's right. But what I just alluded to earlier, is kind of answers this question, what Jackson's saying there. No fans makes it easier. He's Dom's, Dom, he's Ray's kid, so everyone's going to take good care of him. And he's already been in the ring a few times with them.
Yeah. He doesn't have stage fright. He's looking more comfortable
out
there. Originally, he could tell he had kind of that look, especially with the live crowd. So like, holy shit, I'm on TV. I'm here with my dad. Can't be easy. Justin Lopez, $5. It'll be 2 years in September that Dom started his wrestling training with Lance Storm.
Oh, so, Lance Storm training him?
Yeah.
Oh, bro, he'll be fine. I mean, dead serious, because Seth is really good on top of it. He'll be fine.
So, wrestling enthusiast, $1.99, and this is an interesting theory about retribution. Randy is the leader, and they get involved at SummerSlam. I would not see that coming.
Okay, I'll take that.
Which, funny you said that, Glenn, because you just said, "I would not see that coming." Isn't the tagline for SummerSlam?
Oh,
you won't see it coming?
You won't see it? There you go.
Isn't that the tagline?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like Extreme Rules, like how Extreme Rules was the horror show. SummerSlam has now been dubbed SummerSlam. You won't see it coming. That's like the its subtitle.
I like that.
Maybe it's Vince McMahon who's behind Retribution, getting back at everyone. I don't know. It's gonna be. Randy Orton is probably the most satisfying payoff. I do not think we're going to get satisfied.
I would rather, if it actually was going to be Dijakovic, Ciampa, guys like that, I'd actually rather it be what we've talked about before, it being Triple H's behind it, and it's a way to infiltrate Raw and SmackDown and to overtake the power. I'd rather something like that, to be quite honest with you.
But Retribution, though, I mean, the definition of Retribution is punishment inflicted on someone as vengeance for a wrong or criminal act. So this is punishment.
Maybe Triple H wants retribution on events. That's
demoting him. For demoting him.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. John Cena's bald spot, $2 super chat. Is Dominic eventually turning on Ray? Is Ray coming back? We'll talk about Seth taunting Ray tonight. Maybe Ray at SummerSlam makes his return. Maybe the night after. Chris Pantaleo, $1.99. Dominic is like 1991 Royal Rumble Dustin Rhodes too soon.
But how can you say that? We haven't. All that we've ever seen of Dominic in the ring has actually been good. Like, if you get back to last fall, I think it was the Lesnar-Velasquez match when Ray and Dominic got in there and they had to do some chair spots and some selling. Dominic has not really faltered at any spot. So, like, I don't know why. He hasn't had a TV match, which that's obviously okay. He's young. He's new. Yeah. I get that. But people that are saying some of these comments are acting like they've watched Dominic work a loop and that he's terrible. We haven't seen him.
A loop. First of all, John Cena's bald spot. That's hilarious. I love the name. Secondly, I know John Cena had a bald spot. But what was I going to say about Dominic? Here's the whole thing. Who's to say he's not going to be on the roster, like taking up somebody else's slot if people are worried about that. This is going to be a one-off. Like, he's not going to be on the every week's broadcasts after this or the next angle. I don't believe it. I believe it's a short-term angle. He'll go maybe down to NXT to train. Seriously, he'll train in the facility there, continue to own his craft, to get better, and then get called up one day. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think he's called up for good. I don't think that's what this is.
I don't know. Tony Rubal, $1.99. A+ Raw tonight. Justin Goat Apollo. Which MVP yelling out tonight.
Is that for me? Thank you, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So while we're left waiting on pins and needles for Seth Rollins versus Dominic, tonight we got Seth Rollins versus Humberto Carrillo, with Seth getting a pretty easy win. And then after kicking the crap out of Dominic and beating him with a kendo stick, tying him up in the ropes after. And looking at the photos, I mean, it looks brutal. But Matt, as you've said before, a kendo stick stings, but it does not do lasting damage.
Right. Yeah. It stings. That's all.
It was kind of a nice, like, on TV, paying your dues, baptism kind of moment. I mean, Dominic took some stinging shots there from Murphy and Rollins. So this is a great, again, get some heat on Rollins, get some sympathy on people behind Dominic. Want to see him get some retribution. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Humberto Carrillo's had 22 TV matches on Monday Night Raw, and I already care about Dominic more than I care about him.
Well, Dominic's got history. Dominic's got family. I mean, yeah. Nightmare Knee, $5, saying Matt Morgan wears his emotions on his face. I could tell how bad a show or segment is just by looking at his expressions.
I am pretty badly transparent. He's correct.
No poker face.
Yes. No. Andrade versus Angelo Dawkins. The poisoning angle continues. I mean, who would have thought Zelina Vega out there in the ring saying, "I did not poison Montez Ford." And she repeated it.
What's so bad about that?
I mean, a poisoning angle? It's just, it's very, it's like I'm playing Clue or watching Dynasty or so, like Who Shot JR. It's very soap opera.
She missed the easy layup. Why wouldn't she just blame it on the guys that are messing with the lights? Blame it on Retribution.
That's true. Well, we don't want to confuse it. And by the way, like, why is that the big anarchist angle? Oh, the lights are flickering on and off. Oh, they're cutting the sound. Like,
I don't know. It's stupid.
Yeah, and it was overdone tonight, especially with the light flickering. But we had Andrade versus Angelo Dawkins, with Angelo Dawkins picking up a win. But the real match after this was Zelina Vega versus Bianca Belair in singles competition, with Bianca Belair picking up the win.
That was good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not huge on this angle, but anything that helps Bianca at this point is a good thing.
I did like their shoot angle they try to create on Twitch.
Oh, yeah, 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 with Zelina streaming and Bianca attacking her during the live stream. That was great.
That was cool. It was different.
It was cool, but they made no mention of it tonight. They made no mention That's of true. It because they shot stupid. It's because they shot tonight's Raw last Monday. Oh. So obviously the girls decided to do this since then. So that was the weird thing, was that it wasn't mentioned at all because it couldn't have been. And that's sure. But you know, those, yeah, but I
post production they could have, though.
Yeah, yeah. You think, but I love seeing these two in the ring together. I mean, I'm a big fan of both, and this was fun to watch this match.
It was. I hope it's not done with then now.
Oh, no, I think it's gonna be. I'm gonna predict we're gonna get two mixed gender tag matches at SummerSlam. Don't I think you, we're going to get Zelina and her.
I agree, yeah. But don't you think that that's the big money match in it is Zelina versus Belair?
No, I think they think with the Street Profits too. I think Montez will come back since he wasn't there tonight.
Traditional booking would say yes. It's to see Bianca get her hands on the woman who poisoned her husband. But I think in their mind, it's good. Yep. I know it's so weird to say. I think in their mind, it's going to be the payoff's going to be when we get that hacker like footage proving that Zelina and crew did, and that's going to be the payoff is in that.
P.S. They better go to jail too. Like, seriously, how do you talk your way out of this, WWE? You had your superstars try to kill someone.
I mean, there is that onion recall going on right now because of the salmonella and the onions.
Where?
You haven't heard about this? I had to throw out all my onions the other day. Like, it's affecting like all 50 states. Like, your onions might be tainted. I know. I cook with onions a lot. I was very upset about this. But, yes, Nightmare Knee, $5. Matt, tell us the truth. You're the leader of Retribution. That's why you haven't been on the show.
This is true. This is true.
I was
5'6" female that you guys saw kicking butt and taking names. That was me.
Matt should have been Bischoff. He should have been the moderator of the debate. I mean, he's in Florida. It's a political debate between Cassidy and Jericho. I don't know why they didn't call on you.
I agree.
I said this Friday, Matt. Justin thinks I'm wrong. I think Bruce and Vince will look like geniuses if they tie the hacker into Retribution, because it will seem like I've been building to this all along.
Yes. I agree. I don't want to say genius, but we can give them good credit for a good laid out storyline that they took their damn sweet time with and made people forget about and then came back to it. That would be pretty cool.
Antoine Fair, $5, saying, I hate to be the guy, but the lights were done to set up the flare kick at the end of the show. It was a plot device. Once I got that, I was fine with it. I agree. That was a good use of that, to not actually have to kick Ric Flair in the face tonight.
I agree. Yeah, it's very uncomfortable, but not in a good way.
The Hurt Business tonight. Hurt Business dominating in Raw Underground last week.
Good.
Not in Raw Underground tonight.
I was going to say they need to continue to do that, though, I thought.
We'll talk about Raw Underground. I feel like it was scaled back tonight on purpose. But Apollo Crews versus Shelton Benjamin, with Shelton Benjamin getting the win and then going to rough up Apollo after, but MVP is going to face Crews for the U.S. title at SummerSlam and saying, no, he does not want him roughed up. He needs him in good enough shape to compete. So, but Crews got the better of them tonight, kicked MVP in the head, dropping him, and then retreated with his title. So, Apollo versus MVP again. I feel like we're seeing a lot of repeats at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled or excited about the match. I like MVP talking, you know. I like him repping Bobby and Shelton. I would have liked to seen Shelton get this opportunity, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy about the match at SummerSlam, but I got to say, Apollo Crews, credit to him. He delivered a little promo. He's sounding better than he ever has. I don't know if it's just the fact that he's getting a consistent story where he's on every week, so he has something to grasp.
Got confidence.
Yeah, if it's that, or somebody's working with him, or whatever. But this is the best he sounds. So his stock's at the best. And I got to give credit to Sean Ross Stapp, and I always trust his stats because he's pretty on point. I believe he tweeted tonight was the first singles victory for Shelton Benjamin on Raw since 2006.
Wow!
Think of that.
To be fair, he's been a tag team specialist for a big part of his career, but wow.
Right.
Holy mackerel. That's crazy. Wow. That's nuts.
So we saw Retribution outside throwing cinder blocks through the front window of the Performance Center. The security guard confronted them. Jeez, a security guard. You guys need to leave.
Yawn.
They threw one brick and it broke the window. They threw a second brick after it through an empty window. They didn't even take the second brick and break another pane of glass. They just threw it through an empty doorway. Like, it's just. Ay. But there's no sense of, you know, when the NWO lawn darted Rey Mysterio against the trailer in Orlando and they had baseball bats, that felt like a true, like, I got to sit around and find out what's happening. I know the show is scripted, but this doesn't feel scripted. Nah. Even when Nexus showed up, Daniel Bryan got fired for choking the ring announcer with his necktie and had to get petitioned to be hired back 3 months later. Nothing about that feels dangerous or cool. Again, this just feels like just a bunch of just kids that got out of school early and are just running around.
No. Retribution or feel like Hot Topic anarchists. You know, who got the parents' credit card, went and got pierced at the mall, and decided Antifa. To F shit up. Yes. Yes. The suburban Antifa at the Performance Center. Z Rivera, $5. Imagine Shane or Steph coming up with a promo that they're injecting a poison into the WWE, aka Retribution, and it's a total mutiny of WWE from Vince.
That shit for me has sailed about the two kids taking over the company and kind of Stephanie already owns it, in my opinion.
For those who missed that reference, because I know we have some younger people that do watch that, when Vince brought the NWO to WWE, he said he was injecting a poison to kill it.
Thank you very much.
I know you knew it, Matt. You were there. I understand that some people weren't.
Is it really that old?
It's 2002.
Yeah, almost 20 years, dude. 2002. 16 years ago.
If we have some people break things down to explain this stuff to the fans, they should.
That was a very subtle reference. We have some people on here that are probably 18 years old.
That segment's old enough to vote and buy pornographic magazines in most states, and cigarettes. So let's talk about this. I was excited that they announced it. Actually, a little let down that it was so brief. But Mickie James is back.
Yeah.
I mean, they hyped it on social media. I was expecting more, but she looks great. If you kept up with her Twitter, she's been doing well during all this. She was out with an injury, I believe, but she said tonight she's happy to be back and lead the locker room, and she has gold on her mind. She was interrupted by Lana and Natalya wearing sassy matching outfits and talking trash to her. So we'll see what happens going forward, but it seems like Mickie and Natalya are going to get into it with a storyline.
So I was hoping Mickie was part of Retribution. So, no.
Yeah.
That would be cool for her.
Well, I guess she's having a match next week because as she walked off, she said, I'll see you next week. Like, I guess her and against one of the two of them.
We actually, not to underscore this, because I know lately people are picking up on our complaints about AEW's lack of women's matches. There were like four women's matches on Raw tonight, plus this build with the storyline. Like, this was good. This was a very good mix of different matches, different talents, different styles. Even though it all wasn't perfect tonight, I thought that the show moved fast and there was just a lot of variance, which made it nice. Mm-hmm. Ivar was backstage with Demi Burnett of The Bachelor. She's still hanging around there. Maybe trying to get a contract. Eric, Cedric Alexander, and Ricochet walked up telling Ivar to get ready for his match. And Demi saying Ivar's cute, but Eric not so much.
We're back to that already. So these guys were shoot fighters just last week, and now they're back to this stupid grab ass game of theirs. This dumb saying that is not over.
Where's the T-shirt? Where's the T-shirt that says "You're cute, you not so much"?
Maybe like funny. There's nothing funny about this.
It's an inside joke that nobody else gets.
I don't want to get it. I don't even want to be inside anywhere with that joke.
It's like when you walk around the Universal Studios and it's like, hey, family, everybody's wearing a Thing 1, Thing 2 shirt. Like, you're not original. You're not clever.
You know? Seriously. P.S. Change it up. Yeah, the Thing 1 t-shirt gimmick, though, is way more over.
At Universal, it is. Yeah. They must sell those, like, yeah. I mean, that's all I see. You know what needs to come back is the I'm With Stupid shirt. I want to see that make a comeback in the year 2020.
Lots of fingers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lots of fingers.
Just a 360 of fingers on the shirt.
Seriously. For real.
It's good. Trademark that. Get that up on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah. I'm surrounded by stupid.
Yes. So then we indeed had that match. The Viking Raiders, Ricochet and Cedric Alexander versus Akira Tozawa and his ninjas. Not to be confused with the other people in dark black hooded outfits.
Definitely not.
Eric Ivar, Ricochet, and Cedric Alexander got an easy win here, but then one of the ninjas pinned 24/7 champ Akira Tozawa, revealing himself to be R-Truth, who now in his 38th 24/7 title reign.
I thought that was cool. It was something, right?
Yeah.
It was something, at least. I don't hate the 24/7 title. I'm sorry. Everybody else does, I know.
Joshua, and let's give it credit. It's been over 12 months now that it's been around, and they've actually kept with it, and they've kept the same kind of stupid, comedy thing to it. But it's now started after a year. Now it's carving its own little niche, and it's been, if nothing else, it's just been a reason to have R-Truth on TV, which R-Truth is super entertaining. So I'm okay with that.
Yes,
yeah.
He is. Yes, he is.
Joshua Taylor, 299. WWE is wasting the Viking Raiders' talent. I mean.
Dear when Josh, yeah. It's already happened. What's the saying? That ship has sailed. That they've already jumped the shark. That's already happened.
The ship sailed with the Viking Experience when they first launched on Monday Night Raw, and it never recovered.
Yep, it's not their fault. It's not the talent's fault. But sucks.
Brad Swint, 499. Paul Heyman coming back as the leader of Retribution. It won't happen, but you wouldn't see it coming.
True.
That'd be good.
That would be good.
So we'll talk about this in a second. Terry Allen Jr., 516, super chat. I disapprove of short women's matches from the laziness and no effort of the Vince example. Vince example tonight. Wish Peyton versus Liv's ring time was longer, showing passion. I like that they're getting more of them on TV. I don't think every match has to be super long.
No. Sometimes, especially if you want more.
They don't have to be super long. And what's nice is that once upon a time, bless you. Once upon a time, it would just be that the only female feuds that you would see on TV were just about whoever was champion. Now they're actually getting into depth of like feuds that don't have to do with titles. It's just feuds that have other things, you know, granted maybe poisoning or, you know, whatever else, but it is nice that they're expanding the creative horizon for the women.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So let's talk about that. After Drew McIntyre had a short promo against Randy Orton backstage, we had Peyton Royce versus Liv Morgan. Liv out there with Ruby Riott. Yeah, this was a quick match with Peyton Royce getting the win. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Riott Squad get the win last week?
I think so.
They jump. Didn't they jump them?
At the end of the KO show or whatever?
Yeah, that was on SmackDown, though, I think. I don't know. I know they jumped the two girls. It wasn't a match. And it got the better of them.
It was Raw last week, and Kevin Owens said, ladies, can you help me out? And then I think the Riott Squad attacked them.
But anyways, I like the storyline, actually. I don't like Riott Squad, but I like Liv Morgan, so hopefully this helps her more. And I love the Iconics. So I like this storyline here.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the Iconics. I've I, you know, I don't I the only other comparison I can make is I think they had that goofy chemistry and humor that Edge and Christian have with each other. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I like the fact that the Riot Squad is not necessarily back. The fact that they lost tonight and they kind of teased a little bit of,
like
it's not, this is a short-lived reunion. They're going to have it out with each other. I think that's good.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Shane McMahon teasing the Raw Underground tonight. But let's talk about Asuka.
What doesn't make any sense real quick of that is that they did this last week too. And I can't see the TV trick in doing this. Last week they did it again. They said Raw Underground coming up at 10 p.m. The first time we saw Raw Underground tonight, it was over with and done by 9:55 Eastern. I don't understand what the benefit of that is, of why you would advertise that the Raw Underground is going to take place in this third hour and you would jump the shark, because it's not, I don't know. That's weird to me. Maybe I'm honing in on something that doesn't need to be honed in on, but I noticed it last week that they advertised it for it and they jumped the shark and put it earlier. And it's like, it's a tape show. You can change the pace of it easily.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know. It's very odd that they started early. But let's talk about Asuka versus Bayley tonight. This was a lengthy match, one-on-one. Now, the stipulation, if Asuka wins, she's going to face Sasha for the Raw Women's Championship at SummerSlam. Matt, what did you think of this match tonight? And then awesome. Justin, to you.
Awesome. Awesome. You knew it was going to be. But it also needed to be to continue the momentum that, holy crap, Bayley's got. You know, she's the best heel. I can't believe I'm saying this, but am I wrong saying she's one of the top two best heels right now in WWE?
I agree, which is all the more important to say that when, 5, 6 years ago. Well, yeah, and the fact that 5 or 6 years ago, it kind of looked like she could be like the next big, like,
Cena
of the women's, right? So,
women, yep.
I'll tell you what, I gotta give, you know, Bayley's always good in the ring. And again, Joe compliments this with his enthusiasm. The submissions that were going on in this, the counters, the way is Asuka did her, high, I don't know what the name of it, a high kick, and Bayley jumped in the air, grabbed it, turned it into an ankle submission, and then that turned into like all kinds of other counters. This was, if you're a wrestling fan, this is something to watch here, folks.
It really was good. It was so good.
But this was very well done tonight. Really enjoyed this match. I mean, we knew it was going to be Asuka versus Sasha at SummerSlam, but I think this is going to be great. And but they've got to build up some more women, because now that Charlotte's not there, I mean, these are the top three women all of WWE.
I mean, do you not agree that this does build them up, though? Like,
no, but they need to build up someone else, though.
But so no, Glenn, I disagree with that, because what I just said a minute ago, they're giving airtime to Bianca and Zelina. They got something going on. You know, like, I mean, all around. I mean, they're again, you can build the women without it being surrounded around title matches. So I think that I think that we'll get through SummerSlam, and you know, maybe Bianca is a point to where she's ready to jump. I mean, obviously, look, the inevitable is still Bayley versus Sasha. That's the inevitable. They've pushed it off. Not having SummerSlam in Boston with a crowd, they've obviously had to audible things, but that's the inevitable here. Bayley just lost and now is forced her best friend to have to face Asuka. So that's where we're going next. But I mean, I think they are building up women around them.
I'm not sure if I missed something because I started a little late today. There was John Cena's bald spot $2. No video tribute for Kamala tonight.
No video. They just did the in memoriam screen. They didn't have a video package.
And then they have something on them for the network too. They have a special.
Oh,
do they? Oh, good.
They got like a category of all Kamala stuff.
Oh, good, good. And we'll talk about his passing later in the show. Brandon Hall, $5, saying, "I need Paul Heyman as Shayna's mouthpiece. She has everything else, in my opinion. They're wasting her away." I mean, they tried tonight. They gave her a showcase in her element. We'll talk about that.
She would be very different with Paul Heyman. I agree with that.
Okay. Antoine Fair, $5. It was a KO show on Raw. Asking them to help led to a tag match. Liv Morgan pinned Peyton last week, which led to the match. So it is 50-50. Chris Pantaleo, $1.99, saying Vince McMahon hate me all my sneezing while talking. So I can never work for WWE. Justin, what was your plan if you'd been hired as a writer to suppress sneezing in the presence of Vince McMahon?
take a lot of take a lot of anti-cold medication.
Just be hopped up on Sudafed 24/7.
It would have been Claritin all day long. You know? No sneezing, no coughing.
Hey, whatever it takes to get ahead.
I should have kicked you off the podcast for sneezing. Damn it, I missed a golden opportunity to Vince okay. out on you.
Okay, well,
My biggest worry, to be shoot honest, my biggest worry, if I ever had got there back in that time where I was in the interview process, was I sleep really well on moving vehicles and on moving plane rides. So if I would have ever got caught falling asleep and I shouldn't have fallen asleep, that would have been like a problem. Because I sleep well on planes that have a little bit of turbulence. I sleep well on cars. And then, you know, the old, you know, Mac can tell you, if you're driving a car, you don't fall asleep. You know, if somebody's putting in the hours driving. That's a hard one for me. I'm a comfortable travel road sleeper.
Okay, so I'm going to put this delicately. Dustin Eck has a $10 super chat with a question. I'm going to rephrase this a little bit just to be very respectful. But wants to know your take on Dixie back in the day, because Booker T said on his radio show that she loved being the, quotes, that MILF and drinking and having fun. And there were even rumors of romantic entanglements behind the scenes.
Now, people would say that stuff. I always, you know, see it. But you guys got to remember, I lived there. I lived next to, like, 20 minutes away from the studio, so I didn't go out after the shows. I think I've gone out, maybe a total of four times in my 8 years or however many years I was there with them. So, like, they would all go out afterwards. My wife was there, so we would always just go back home, go out to get something to eat together with some of the guys sometimes, and then go right to my house. Because, again, I lived there. Everybody else, they were technically on the road.
Yeah.
But so I'm trying to think of pay-per-views were on the road. You know, Dixie would definitely come in every once in a while and pick up the tab for a lot of the guys. But she wasn't like sitting there holding court with everybody every single time. That's from what I saw. But did she have her favorites? Sure. I was one of her favorites, I believe. Hernandez was. There was some others as well that she really fought for us. To get an opportunity, you know. She was very helpful me getting on American Gladiators. NBC called and they're like, all right, so the Matt Morgan's we have first right of refusal on him, and Terry Taylor almost screwed that whole thing up for me.
Really?
And he's like, no, Matt belongs to TNA, he's a TNA talent first. And NBC were like, all right, well then go F yourself, then we'll find another 7-foot guy. I'm like, ah, Terry, well, no. This is a huge opportunity. Dixie got one over their attorneys to help me get that back.
Oh, wow.
And fix that. So when I hear them say stuff about her, it's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, I always really liked her, and I always thought she did the best she could, you know, not having much experience in this business and trying to do the best she could with it, you know. But as far as being out on the road, all I only remember – every once in a while would come in there and pick up the tab for everybody else's debaucheries. No, everybody drinking or eating whatever they're eating and crap like that.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
And always with the fans. Always, always, always sitting there talking to the fans.
There you go. Zachary Knitz, $5. Those punches Shayna Baszler threw on Raw Underground looked terrible. Ken Shamrock's Lion Den matches were better.
Yes, they were. They were.
Right. Brian Barry, $9.99. Thank you, sir. Why not have Asuka versus Bayley versus Sasha? If Asuka pins Bayley, she wins the SmackDown. If she pins Sasha, she wins the Raw title. And have Bayley call Sasha the title.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of not a bad call. Because you could stretch it out.
I'm looking forward to this 3-brand battle royal for who's going to face Bayley. And I think... you're right. I think it's going to be Rhea Ripley versus Bayley at SummerSlam.
That would be a great comeback, but getting her back on track.
It would be a comeback. She's lost on TV since Mania. It'd be a comeback.
Bullshit. It's bullshit.
I agree. So let's talk. Okay. So this is a twofer, two classic back-to-back segments. One, back to the Raw Underground tonight. We saw, what's his face? Oh, why am I blanking on his name? I can't remember.
Bob, the Baba?
Yeah, we saw Babatunde, Daba Kato, his new name. We saw Arturo Ruiz.
Who Google him, folks? He's been with in the system now for a couple of years. He's Brazilian. This dude's a legit, and Shane hyped him up with some stats. Like, this dude's a legit accomplished shoot amateur fighter and wrestler. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like when I see guys like that, and even Shayna, who's got an MMA background, when I see them getting profiled in this underground fight environment, this it's real environment, it certainly accentuates their resume. The problem becomes, back to my original issue with last week, with the whole concept, is you're making them look really great now, but what happens when they eventually go above ground and they go back to this sanctioned fight of Raw, and they're back to the traditional pro wrestling offense and selling? Unless you're going to book them all like Brock Lesnar, you're setting yourself up for a failure in a corner, booking yourself in a corner.
So Babatunde, whatever his name is, Daba, whatever the hell his name is, he's a good example. He's going to have a great B-roll clip when it is time for him to have those matches on Raw front and center of looking like a badass, coming out of the shadows and just frigging nuking everybody in this underground bit. Like, in my opinion, he's going to be built like a monster from this. And it's a different way to get over a monster. I think he'll get over from this. There'll be maybe one or two others that get over from it as well. And I think it will serve them on that main show or whatever, in the main lit up ring, whatever you want to call it, above ground, as you would say. I think it'll be fine. He used to be Leo Rush's bodyguard.
There you go. Braxton Hughes with the $2.99 super chat. I thought, okay, the camera cuts were a bit much in the presentation. It was weird that they didn't even introduce or give a name to the guys that got beaten every match. So it kind of telegraphed who was going to win. It was all very fast. This seems like they already scaled it back based on the feedback last week. We saw no dancing women tonight. Everything was mostly contained in that one segment. I mean, maybe from Shane's tease to the end of Raw Underground, maybe it was 20 minutes past with Raw Underground picking up. Maybe
did they get a lot of? Did they get a lot of crap, a lot of grief about like the women dancing? By the way,
yes,
the women dancing that got called out by Alundra Blaze was the most notable.
The minute I saw that when it first aired, I go, they're supposed to be like the leaders of the pack here, Women's Revolution or Revolution rather. They don't have to do this crap anymore. Women can have a spot in wrestling with real characters, real athleticism, not this crap.
It was very Grand Theft Auto.
Alundra Blaze, and then supporting her tweet was Lance Storm saying, okay, well, when we have the women go to the underground, let's have some Chippendale dancers. Let's be equal here in our sex appeal. Glenn, okay. You might be right, because again, they could have edited. They could have edited out any dancers. But again, I remind you, everything that we saw tonight was filmed last Monday also. So that they had no time to react to the feedback. The only time to react to the feedback is edited.
Yeah, they do. So maybe they had to take out some stuff because they had that in it. And that could have been another match for all we know.
Right. But Matt, to your question, because I don't remember last time you and I talked, and when we put out the ratings on these podcasts, they all blend together. But the Raw Underground last Monday actually did them favors. When the Raw Underground started and stayed on Raw last week, they saw an increase in viewership, and more importantly, they saw a serious uptick. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but it was a serious uptick in a lower demographics viewership. So
younger demographic.
Younger. Yes, thank you. So, I mean, by a lot of accounts of measurement, the Raw Underground, by curiosity, did some favors to them last week. So
I could see USA Network saying, what is this crap you're putting on our network? Why are you doing this? We have a certain expectation. Yeah,
I can see the fans going boinkers over it, actually, enough to reverse it.
Yeah, it did seem condensed down tonight. I'll be curious what form it takes next week. I'm assuming they had to have shot more. So Shayna Baszler was there and picked three women out of the audience to beat up tonight to show off her dominance. I mean, it was what it was. It was okay. But I thought, well, it's the same problem though. And someone mentioned a super chat earlier, these worked punches.
Yeah.
it just really looks
exactly. That's what that's what I'm saying.
It looks fake, but it looks faker than what we're used to seeing. You know?
It's a slap in the face to what's going on this sanctioned part of the show. You're trying to tell me this ref can come in and stop it after this one knockout punch, but then you're trying to sell me on the traditional genre of pro wrestling offense and selling otherwise. It's a hypocrisy.
He's right.
And if you watch, I don't watch a lot of UFC, but when I do see MMA, it looks far more chaotic, like a lot more intensity. This just looked like an imitation version of that. And the camera cuts actually made it worse. In a movie, the camera cuts normally make it better because you can sell it more. You can get better angles. This tonight, I still feel like their ass was showing. The way these punches looked when they're landing, actually, yeah, it just looked like the worst worked punches I've seen on WWE program.
And well, they need to, if they're going to do this underground society, they need to commit to it. Again, I kind of joked about it last week, but I'm kind of serious. They need to see, all right, you can take away the dancing girls, but like, let me see some people taking bets, throwing down dollar bills on who's going to knock out who. Let me hear some trash talking. You know, last Friday when they did the retribution angle at the end where they all came in spray painting chainsaws, whatever, there were, it was like the Jerry Springer show. There was a beep every 5 seconds because they were trying to beep out curse words. Let me hear some profanity in the Raw Underground with some beeps. Like, if you really want to make this be a little bit of an X-rated, dark, seedy, gritty world going on here, I think there's more that they could do than just Shayna Baszler coming in. And one of the women that she knocked out was some blonde who looked like she was on a shopping spree at a mall wearing colorful colors of a top. Like, no. Like, think about what you're trying to present here.
I want a chain link fence, number one, to be some part of the Raw Underground. And let's get Bobby Roode in there and like bust out the old expensive suit. It's like smoking a cigar, you know, kind of the way he looked classy in NXT. Like, let's really like build up the atmosphere.
You got the big guy standing 7'2", watching the security door. Let there be a password. What's the password to get into Raw Underground?
I know. Well, I know. I know. Gotta have something. I got a question here from Matt Morgan in a minute.
Next segment.
Yeah, well, let me ask this Matt Morgan question from Jackson Callens, $4.99. Matt, if today's wrestling was 10 years ago, so put on your imagination hat over that, those spiked bangs, where do you see wanting to work personally, even if outside WWE and AEW?
Where do you see you wanting, even if outside? Probably WWE, right? It depends on who's gonna let me be myself. Like, at the time, TNA was the best for that, but now it's a very different landscape. So I would imagine AEW. I think I'd have the best opportunity to be myself.
Not to mention you could stay in Florida; you wouldn't have to travel as much.
Well, now,
but no, in general too.
Pandemic. It's true.
Joe, why the password to Raw Underground is Katie Vick. Next segment. Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens tonight. Randy Orton getting a win. Good back and forth match. Lengthy match. Main event starting with a half an hour left in the show. So you knew some shit was going to go down.
Randy Orton's so good. He's just so good.
Tell him what the finish was.
Well, the finish of this was Owens dropped. Wait, I'm reading the Wrestling Inc. recap here.
Dude, the Wrestling Inc. recap sucks if you can't even read it.
Sorry. I know. Okay, so Orton got up, blocked a stunner from Owens, dropped him with the RKO. Orton covered him for the pin and the win. And then after, and we skipped over, by the way, a high point of the show with Retribution flipping over a car and then kicking the car.
No,
I already mentioned how stupid it looked earlier. We didn't gloss over it. It's fine.
I feel like it could have used another 10 minutes to discuss the logic of that. Anyhow,
no.
Orton stood tall. Out came Ric Flair. It was all hugs and kisses and love. But then Randy had some words for Ric.
Well, Randy told Ric, stay here, and then they go to commercial.
So we knew what was coming.
That's like Joe Pesci being told he's getting made in Goodfellas, and he gets whacked. That's what was that one. Hey, Ric, why don't you stay here for a minute? That's what that was. You knew something bad was coming.
So he talked Ric up, and then talked about then it took a dark turn. Talked about he's like the son that Ric wished he had, and then ended up like hitting him in the nuts, doing a punt on his head with a well-timed blackout. Drew McIntyre came out to check on Flair, called Orton an evil son of a bitch, and the crowd chanting shame as we went off the air. So, man, I mean, they're really building this. Randy, that was a good win over KO tonight, which is a shame because KO needs something after this. He's got to rebound into something good. But with Randy and Rick, I mean, I don't know, Matt, how do you think this added the sort of heat to it, given that everyone predicted this is exactly what was going to happen?
Just makes Randy look like a bigger dick.
Yeah, he looks like a big. Yeah, he looks like a bigger dick, and even little words like or sentences like "I'm the son you wish you had," and when the majority of the audience knows like Rick has lost a son, pretty like I mean, like that's I think we all kind of saw it coming that Randy's eventually going to do that to Rick, but I mean the way they did it was good, and then we talked about earlier utilizing the nonsense of the retribution light flicker, so that way you don't actually have to, you know, try to physically punt Rick, but you can, you know, just give an illusion. This was a well done finish for what is the challenger for the title at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And I liked Rick being proud of Randy. I mean, they've done this with Rick a few times before too, right? Where Rick looks like the kind old man, like helping out his protege or prodigy. And then them, I mean, with Charlotte, it was kind of similar, right? I mean, Rick gave Charlotte like a very emotional "I'm proud of you" speech, and then Charlotte like turned on him kind of in a similar way. But it was good. It was dramatic. It was a good way to end the show.
I agree. I mean, at first I thought that it was going to be that, and then they're leaving minutes for retribution. But then when I saw how they were really milking it, I'm fine with how they milked it. I'm all good with that.
So you think this is the last we see of Ric Flair for a while?
I would think. What does he pop up at SummerSlam and help Drew win? That would be weird. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Drew and Rick would be interesting. John Cena's bald spot, $2 is the best that Randy's ever been right now.
No. I thought Randy's best was right after he turned baby. He had a lot of good years. I would argue toward the end of his evolution run, he put on a lot of good matches with like Eddie, Benoit, other really good wrestlers. And he was coming into that top slot. And he was only 20-something years old.
I mean, it builds the intensity. I think that Rick, I know for a lot of people it adds something to this angle, but I'm interested in just seeing Randy and Drew. I think having Rick there is nice, but yeah, just something a little extra.
Yeah.
With all this. So tonight's Raw went by fairly fast. I mean, the Underground thing was stupid. Retribution continues to be dumb, but aside from that, it was an okay show.
It was. There was a lot of good, you said it earlier, a lot of good variety on the show tonight, I thought. It moved it along pretty well.
So we've got some news stories. Peter Bahi with the $2 Super Chats and thoughts on Jericho having a concert with fans. He played the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in South Dakota recently, which is interesting. Curious if he's on AEW. What's that?
What did he do wrong? Was it illegal to have a concert?
It's not that it's illegal. It's just I can understand the point that with AEW screenings, AEW has not had the issues that WWE has had. So for Jericho to go out and play a show and attend an event with tens of thousands of people, I mean, I would be critical if the WWE talents were going to Disney World right now and say like, oh, maybe that's not WWE just had this outbreak. But hey, if Jericho wants to be in the company of bands like Smash Mouth, who are also playing the festival, that's between him and his God. And I have to respect that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
We'll see. So what else is going on in the news?
All right, we'll be real quick. Those three stories. One we've already pretty much touched on, which was last Friday, those who were under the mask as Retribution are reportedly not going to be the actual ones revealed when that time comes. So if that's the case, that's a huge whew, because as I talked about, there was nothing intimidating about the look of those on Friday and even tonight's. And again, tonight's Raw was taped last week, so all probably the same. SmackDown, as to be noted, SmackDown did see an increase in viewership up from the week prior, up 3.5% on viewership. But also to be noted, they did really well in the key demos that has become the thing. They were number one in the 18 to 49 demographic on network TV for the week. That's the fifth time in a row. They were also tied for number one in the 18 to 34 demo. SmackDown, you know, SmackDown is a more enjoyable show. It's shorter. It's more concise. So they're doing well. And finally, this is a sadder note, but I just figured we'd bring it up because it is what it is in the wrestling world. Obviously, last night the news came out. Kamala, he has passed away. Kamala, a character in WWE and other places, passed away. 70 years old. If you followed Kamala's career in these last couple years, played by James Harris, is his real name. Kamala had actually had both of his legs amputated in these last couple years due to complications with diabetes and other things. Apparently he tested positive for COVID last week, and that was unfortunately the start of his final day. So thoughts and condolences out to his family. But Kamala, again, doing the education. If you're a younger fan and haven't got to see a lot of him, definitely go to the WWE Network, go to YouTube. One of the best WWE things I can recall from me was his work with The Undertaker in 92 at the SummerSlam. Go to YouTube, one of the best cartoon character matches in Madison Square Garden. Search for Kamala versus George the Animal Steel. A very entertaining, again, cartoon, but two guys that had just such awesome characters in the 80s and the Garden crowd eating it up. So great wrestling memory. So rest in peace to Kamala and to his family for their loss.
Wolf Coward, $2 super chat, saying I noticed that the underground talents from Evolve. I didn't specifically notice that. Was there anyone you recognized, Justin?
Not off the bat. Not live. I didn't.
Eddie Omang, $4.99. What do you think of the Bleacher Report? Top 25 wrestlers in the world. I have not seen that yet. I just called it up. I'll just go and give you the high points of who's number one on this here. Number one, Randy Orton. Number two, Sasha Banks. Number three, Orange Cassidy, followed by Drew McIntyre.
Number three,
FTR. Yeah.
Number three,
Jericho. Seven. MJF.
Bleacher Report is owned by the same people that put AEW on TV. Just to put that out there.
Okay.
I also put out there, this list is terrible. That's terrible. It's very debatable, obviously. Everybody's top 10s is very debatable, right? To be fair.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Another Monday is in the books. We'll be back here Wednesday night to talk about AEW and NXT. And of course, Friday for talk of SmackDown. Oh, what will happen next with Retribution? What are they going to do? Justin, Matt, any predictions for Retribution's next act of chaos?
Atomic Wedgie, Robert Stone brand.
Swirlies.
Swirlies.
A really, really a clever crank call to Vince McMahon. On that note, folks, we'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.